Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love speaking in the name of the Lord. God loves us. We all do His work, and we speak according to His will. We speak by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and it's always a wonderful work. And I thank God for everyone who loves His word, everyone He uses mightily. The Lord is going somewhere with the instructions that He gives us. They're going to do great things. Many times the work of God is underestimated. But in heaven, all things will be revealed. All things will be obvious. And there'll be no secrets. The mystery you deal with now, it'll be common knowledge then. I thank God for it. As we do all to stand, let us be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in His work. It's a living work. It's a living plan from a living God. And all of His work works together in unison. Everyone that He calls, they're operatives of His will, an extension of Him. Every word we speak is an extension of what's in His heart. Even the warning, the things He gives us to solve other people's problems and our problems. I used to study how the Lord would minister to people in their need. And I love the way David would ask questions and get answers. And I would watch how the Lord gave him the answers and solutions to the problems that he faced and challenges. And I started seeking the Lord in my life. Many times cold religion will say whatever happens is God's will. God knew you was going to do this and He knew you was going to do that, and they weave it into His will, and it's not. But when we study the word and how He led Jesus, He took Him step by step. It was necessary for Jesus to conquer Satan in the wilderness before He started His ministry. Because we have to learn to win in life before He can trust us to go out and help other and win other people. But the healing process has already begun from the moment we first believe. Paul talked about when he was teaching Timothy about the rudiments of being a bishop and a pastor and a leader. One scripture he said, not a novice, because they'll get lifted up in pride. Some things have to come first, because God is foundational. He builds on a solid foundation. And He won't let a man go out untested. He won't give you the next step until you're tested. Until you are proven. You have to win the battle of Satan within the heart. There was nothing Satan could do with Jesus. He made history in the wilderness. And then He began to go out and do greater things because He was guided by the Holy Spirit. Our training time, there is such a thing called training time. Now, I mentioned earlier many broadcasts ago how there were pastors that I loved and the Lord sent me to help them. And my main message was sharing with people how to follow God, things about following God. And it didn't work out too good because people didn't, they usually did it that way. And they did it according to tradition. It takes courage to do things God's way. And they wouldn't make that jump. And the day will come, it happened more than once, when the Lord would send me to another church. And He would, and it was as if I had done all I could do with that church. In fact, the last church that happened, that the Lord gave me this dream, and He showed me that I couldn't help them. I couldn't help Him. And I said, wow. And But I remember what would happen if he would have followed God. And I was already at the next church, and I said, "Lord, wait, you know, there were two pastors you were strongly working with. And now you sent me away. And that ministry won't flourish like it could have." I said, "Can they go back and repent and start doing what you originally planned?" And he said, "No." I said, "Why?" He said, "They wasted too much training time. You have to be trained and prepared for what God is going to give you to do. And if he tell you to do something, you already passed that step. You've received training, and he's going to give you something to do. Now, some works require more training than others. That's why it's so important to do all that he say do, to be one with his will, to be totally dedicated to it. When God give you an assignment, you jump all in. And the spouse that he give you will be willing to do the same thing. And you have to train towards it. And the part that your spouse will have to play, you help prepare them for it. You hear the word of God, you pray together. But when people are in wrestling mode, you know, this is not a world federated wrestling match. We shouldn't wrestle with God and his will. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to hurt me. He's going to bless us. I've been confessing for the last few years that I will do all that's in his heart. Whatever he say, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do my part. And I will fight to do my part. I won't let the enemy stop me. I won't let him hinder me. I won't let him talk to me against what God is doing. And I don't let him talk to me at all. I quench his fiery darts. And then I take revenge. I pray for it. Every hindrance, I want revenge. And I ask the Lord for my revenge. Full revenge against Satan. If he do something to hinder me, slow me down, I want revenge for it. I pray, I say, "Lord, help me win that many more souls. Help me to reach out farther and farther. I like revenge." It said vengeance. God said vengeance is mine. Now when it comes to men, I'm much more forgiving. I forgive men. I don't want them to suffer vengeance. I want them to get saved. But when it comes to Satan, I'm all for it. Now, the training time. That's, you know, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Count the spirit of counsel is one. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will minister to us exactly like we minister to the world, or to others, not the world, but to his people. He may give, the Lord has given me one of the spiritual gifts he gave me. Besides, he gave me the spirit of prophetic utterance, or the spirit of prophecy. And then spirit of utterance is a gift of prophecy. And then he gave me discerning of spirits. And I've seen different spirits when I needed to. Not often, but when I need to, he'll show them to me. He'll give me knowledge about them and what to do with them. How to destroy their works. And the other one is a word of wisdom. He gives me the, you know, counsel to help people make the best decision. But he'll speak a word of knowledge to me. I don't remember speaking a word of knowledge. And if I did, it wasn't very often. It was mostly a word of wisdom. Because that prepares you for the future. Spirit of knowledge, the Lord would show me what was happening, then he'll give me the solution to give them. Same thing with counsel. He can counsel you in the way that you should go. And you're going to wonder why he's doing it a certain way. Be obedient and watch. Just pay attention to him. He's going somewhere. It's going to work. Trust me. Everything that God does works. It's going to work good. You're going to like it. You're going to have to pay attention. And you're going to learn. Some things you may learn faster. Sometimes you'll understand his plan more rapidly. And sometimes it's going to take a while. I don't know how much time we have. But if you can actively obey whatever it is God gave you to do, even the things that seem strange to you, you're going to be fine. And I didn't have anybody to tell me these kind of things. Because he's taking you beyond what you've never seen. You've never seen the things he's going to do. Your ministry can be totally different from every ministry in the world, and sometimes it's never been on the earth before in the form that God has given you. And it'll still be the word of God, and Jesus will have done it before you. Everything he gave us to do, Jesus in some kind of way did it. But remember, he didn't have TV and radio, but he still had media, which is written word. The things he did was written about and distributed, because that's the word of God we have. We're reading what he said and about what he did. But now we have videos and we have audio. And in all honesty, God can show you exactly what happened. Because everything is recorded. He can show you the Sermon on the Mount the Sermon on the Mount as it happened. And the Sermon on the Plain. He can give you a vision of it and you'll see it. I've had the Lord to show me things that happened in the past. I saw a church. Never been to it before in my life. And I saw, what I saw was a church service during the civil rights movement. And I saw it. I stood there in the middle of the congregation that was listening. I just, in the dream. And I wrote about it in a book called The Cost of Freedom that I wrote. And it's on the Living Letter Ministries website. The old website, livingletterministries.com. It's on the Living Letter page. And that book, I wrote about it. You can read it. And then I let a guy use my welding machine, and he was living at the church, and he wanted to weld a bell that had cracked with my welding machine. So I went to pick it up. Weeks after he borrowed, I went to pick it up. And he toured me of the church. And I stood in the same spot that I saw the people in the past. It was a beautiful church. And I saw it in its heyday. And the dream meant a lot to me. And I said, you know, when things like that happen, you know that God is with you. First time I went to that church, it was Community Methodist Church. It's another name now. It's still there, Tuscaloosa Avenue in Birmingham. And they had pipe organs all the way, like from the basement to the ceiling. Them things were huge. Beautiful. I bet that cost a pretty penny. But God is good, folks. And he's able to make all grace abound to us. And we're going to see the greater works of God as we go forward. Now, last time we stopped at verse 12. And we read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. How Jesus made history in the wilderness, defeating Satan. See, if you can defeat the enemy within, he can't. You know, he couldn't tempt Jesus. So now, all the people that are blessed by his ministry, he's going to bear fruit after his kind, and they will be people that can't be beat. See, there's a lot of wisdom in training. What you do, if you fail somewhere and you minister to thousands, they're going to have the same struggle. Or they're, in other words, it's not that they automatically have it, but they will excuse themselves in that area. It's kind of like, I've seen it so many times, a pastor that's more lazy than active, where his congregation is going to be inactive. And they're going to be, they won't fight the lazy aspects of life. But a man that's diligent, people learn to value diligence. They see the rewards of it. They have vision for it. People that are men of action, they always take the next step. They take the high road. Then the congregation will see the value in it, and then in their lives they'll take the high road. You know, my pastor, he is a fighter. He knows many different forms of karate, kung fu, jiu-jitsu. He's a master at many different martial arts. And he teaches it. And when he learned how to fight spiritually, he became a great fighter spiritually. And when you walk through the church, people are fighters. They don't let the devil have nothing. And it's, what you are, you know, that's the kind of seed you bear. Now, churches where people were, whatever they had, whatever strength they had, the church was persuaded that way. Whatever weakness they had, people would excuse themselves not to fight that area. They looked at it as normal. If the pastor's doing it, well, it's all right. And now, see, being lazy has false rewards. You get a chance to sit down. You don't have to do much. And most lazy people figure out how to get other people to do what they should be doing. And, you know, remember, everything can look good from a certain point of view. And they learn to value being lazy. And it costs them so much more than they... And they're not missing what it's costing them because they don't know the blessing of being diligent. So what you do, the way you are, is the kind of seed you will bear. And some people are going to look to Jesus and grow beyond what we do. But that's rare. But it happens. And the Holy Spirit will help you do exactly that. He'll help you live far beyond the human people you see that represents Him. You'll live far beyond their flaws and the things that they never won victory in. And Jesus said it. He said, we bear fruit after our kind. We bear fruit, whatever type of person we are, that's the type of fruit we're going to bear. Now, he just won this battle. And now he's, let's watch what happens. Verse 12 says, verse 11, I like verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, I always took this to mean that the angels helped build him back up. But I saw something last night when I did the last broadcast, that Jesus immediately began doing, following through on the work that he had to do. Verse 12 says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And that's where the people of Naphtali live. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee, of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region In the shadow of death, light has sprung up. I remember reading that. Isaiah 9. Verse 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he's finally ministering. He won the battle of the heart. He won the battle within. And Satan couldn't stand against him. Now he's preaching. Training time. When the Lord trained you, that's exactly what's going to happen in your life. And it probably already has. It's a step that we all take. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now I'm going to say this. The angels were ministering to him, right? Now, the angels were there to help him gather his disciples and go before him to prepare people to hear. Angels were they came to minister to him. This is what I saw in the last broadcast. Last night when I did the last broadcast. The angels were actively helping him. And that means they'll help you. There's a ministry of angels. They do the things that we need them to do. And the Lord told me to command my angels to bring me cash. And in my business, whenever I need money, that's what I do. And when you tithe and give offerings, it helps them to do exactly that. My business is word of mouth. From the time my first business was word of mouth. All of it. I had business cards a few times, but I would give them to people so they have my number. I don't believe people call me from a business card somebody else gave them, unless somebody told them about me. But all of it's word of mouth. I never advertise radio. I don't even advertise my business on my radio ministry. I talk about references from time to time to let people know how the Lord blessed me in it. But I never advertise it. And I don't have to. It's all word of mouth. The ministry of Jesus is word of mouth too. And the Holy Spirit will guide you where he wants you to go. He started the ministry where he should start. He fulfilled a scripture the first place he went. Isaiah wrote about it. Now, all of these prophecy references, Jesus fulfilled them in the course of his ministry. He fulfilled all of them, 100%, except for the scriptures that talk about his return, and he's about to fulfill them. But in the course of his ministry, when he was here physically, he fulfilled all of them. He was born in the right place. He went to the right place. He was blessed in the right place. He healed in the right place. Many things and many references were written about him thousands of years before it happened. And if it's not thousands, it's within 1,000 years. Isaiah lived many years prior, at least 700 years, 600 to 700 years prior to when Jesus came. But they were written about him, and he fulfilled them. Now, and Moses prophesied about him. And the Lord showed him what to do. He gave him the messages that he preached were sanctioned by the Holy Spirit, all of it. He taught the people. See, when a crowd comes, the Lord knows exactly what to say to that crowd. And if you follow God, you're in his strategy. The first sermon was the Sermon on the Mount. There followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now they followed him. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, he taught them according to the heart of God. He took them far beyond the old traditions that they were used to. He didn't fool with the things of, he didn't talk about the things the Pharisees taught, because they didn't teach people like he taught. He said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The people who mourn, people who are praying for change, praying for what's right, like they did in Ezekiel's day, crying out for the sins of the people. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." This was not taught by Pharisees. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." This was revelation knowledge to the people. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And he went on with the and explained things, deep things to them, that this was nourishment of the Spirit. The word of God. This is the counsel of God. This is the knowledge of God. This is the wisdom of God. And there's might in it. Almost everything he did was governed by the seven spirits, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit at one time. And there are isolated things which the Holy Spirit would have him to do that, you know, could have been one manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If a person asked him a question, he'd give them knowledge. And with the wisdom and counsel. And when you act on God's word, you have might. I mean, it's possible that every time he did something, all seven manifestations were in it, making people complete. And when the Lord first showed me this, I said, "Well, Lord, help me know which manifestation was in operation." And he kept telling me other things. So it's possible that every time he did something, all seven spirits were manifested together. And I go before the Lord and I ask him. And you can do the same thing. God loves us and his Spirit is actively operating in the ministry of Jesus, and so it is with our ministry. This is the pattern. Everything that Jesus did and taught, this is our pattern. Now, when people ask me that they get saved and they want to know where do I start to learn about the Lord? I said, well, Jesus is the Word of God. So when the Word became flesh, why not look at what he taught? And I told the guy, he was on work release working at our garage in Bessemer. I said, why don't you read Matthew? I suggest reading Matthew 4 through 8. Because that includes the Sermon on the Mount and how Jesus conquered the enemy in the wilderness. And go from there. Everything you need is in that. And then it'll help you to do everything else that's in the Word of God. Because that's what the Word taught when he came. And it was broken down so we could get it. And he agreed. He went back to the jail and got the Bible. He was going to read Matthew chapter 4 through 8. And somebody had taken it out. Chapter 4 through 8 was missing. And I had to copy it out of my Bible and give it to him. See, that message meant a lot. That guy I'll never forget it, and I won't either. Well, we'll pick up here next time. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in your life, help you to understand all things that you desire. Seek and you shall find. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.